Hello? Hello? Have I got a ringing up here? Is that me?
I'm always wanting to sit in one of
those chairs, brother. Yeah, go sit in one of those chairs. Go ahead. Anybody else? We got another chair up here. If anybody wants to? We can seat you up there. Vicky, come on up, Vicky. Come on up, Vicky. Come on up over here. Now that everybody's comfortable and in the chair they want to be in, this past week I had the opportunity to do something kind of fun. I got to overhear a phone call. Now, I know you're not supposed to eavesdrop. I know you're not, but just situations happened. Walked in, Cindy had worked there. She's on the phone. It was a wonderful conversation was happening because Cindy on the phone, she was, And then she says, well, if you got to go, and then she hung up the phone. And I was in to try to talk, ask about something. I heard this and I said, well, that was kind of an interesting conversation. She said, yeah. Talking about the person she talked to. She said, yeah, she said she had to go now. She couldn't listen to what I had to share with her anymore. And you know, sometimes in life, conversations, they can get a little one-sided. You know, people, that just turns out that way. Now, the big question for you is how I'm going to tie that into the scripture that we have today. This is found over in the book of St. Luke. It's in the 9th chapter. It's a story that you've heard many times. It talks about Jesus transfigured on the mountain. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings. This is after Jesus turned all those small little fishes and loaves and fed 5,000. That he took Peter, John, and James, the inner circle, went up to the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. This is a good part, and it says, and behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah. The 31st verse, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now let me get this picture for you. Here is Jesus. He's gone to the mountain. He needed his time to pray. As he is praying, a wonderful countenance come over him. And there with him in conversation were Moses and Elijah. Moses, who led the children of God out of captivity. Elijah, who was the greatest prophet, who called out king after king to turn unto God. Then it reads here in the 32nd verse, but Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep. Some of you during sermon time can appreciate this verse. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep. But then when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened as they were parting from him that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles or shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. Heavenly Father, I have a special blessing under the reading of your word today. Open our minds and hearts for just a moment so we better understand that truth you have for each one of us as individuals. We ask this in Jesus' name. All God's people said amen, amen, amen. This is a wonderful story. It is a story that is full, in my opinion, on things that God would love to speak to us about. It is said that so many times in life, to be successful, you have to be there. Everybody talks about your great training. Everybody talks about your education. But I found so many times in business, you got to post. You got to be there. Now here we have a situation on the mountain where Jesus, and just to think of his prayer being so earnest that it changed his whole countenance. Here with Moses, with Elijah, having a wonderful conversation. The problem is we don't have much information about the conversation that they had, because those who would later on write about it were doing what? They were sleeping. They were sleeping. But after they awoke, Peter, in his anxiousness to kind of do the right thing, he says, you know what? We got to build an altar here. We're just going to stay on this mountain. We're not going back down in the city. We're just going to stay up here, and we're just going to have wonderful church all the time. I tell you, I like church. I love coming here on a Sunday morning. I love the attitude here at Mount Calvary. I love when God's Holy Spirit just comes, leads us, guides us, directs. I love that people have found out that the only thing that you can't have at Mount Calvary is thick skin. Thin skin. Because you've been around here long enough, you're going to find out that sooner or later we're going to have a little fun with you. We're going to take some of those things that are just so dear, and sometimes you just simply need to look at yourself in a new and a fresh way. So many times we get caught up in the things in our life. And I know that I am so guilty of focusing on my little issues and my little problems, my little things, instead of God wanting to reveal to me the bigger picture. On Wednesday night, Vicki was in the front here. That's why we're allowing her to sit in one of the big chairs today. And she shared a little bit about chapter 11 in that purpose-driven life. And it talked about becoming close to God, becoming a friend of God. And it talked about prayer. It talked about how in prayer, that we can simply talk to God. Then it also talked about a quiet time. And that chapter talked about meditation. And it says there that that is a time for God to speak to you. It's nice when you have both in your life. I know that you have wonderful friends in your life and true friends. Hopefully there's that great exchange back and forth, a flow. You get to share the things that are going on in your life, and you look so forward to finding out what is going on in their life too. There's a great author, Tony Campolo. He was at Penn State University back in 1970. In 77, I had the opportunity to speak in the chapel service at Valley Forge Christian College. The seniors there were allowed to speak one chapel session a year. I was looking forward to it. I was going over the notes. I said, oh. And I was scheduled to be speaking on a Tuesday. And so I walked up to look, and they always have the little chapel schedule. And I looked on Monday, who was speaking but Dr. Tony Campolo. At that time, considered to be one of the greatest Christian teachers in the land. I said, that sure is good timing. Too bad he won't be around to hear me speak the next day. And he probably said the same thing when he saw my name coming up afterwards. But he wrote this. He said, to be a person of faith, it means three things. A person of faith means that you're rooted in the past, you are transformed in the present, and you have a glorious vision of the future. Rooted in the past. I had Matt sing today, and I'm going to have Matt sing every time I can get him to sing, because I love the voice, but I love the way he expresses that truth in the song. And that song, "What a Day Will Be," it means a lot to me, because every time I hear it, I think of dear Tommy Freeman. And the times that he would stop me outside and say, "Brother, I need to chat with you." And Tommy would just start to talk. And I would start to listen. And I learned so much from Tommy. He was a good man, used of God. At Easter, we went out into the cemetery and we got to walk down what we call that little Hall of Fame line over there. And I'm so fortunate because here around the church, they still let me do some of the cutting. I'm on restriction on some areas not to cut. I haven't done the proper job. But I still love going and seeing those headstones of dear ones have gone on, because it brings a warm touch to my heart. Every time I go around this crepe myrtle out back here, there's not a time that I don't say hi to my brother Paul. It brings warmth to my heart. Faith in God is rooted in the past. When I hear testimonies on Sunday morning about how God has touched lives, it brings warmth. Faith also is transformed in the present. When you get to know God, it will change your life. Thanks be to God, I'm not the man many times that I want to be, but I praise Him that I'm not the man I used to be. I believe that when He gets a hold of you, things change. Things change. I believe in the transforming of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. He made a change. It's an old song. He made a change. He made a change. He made a change. I have an item I'm going to try to, if I can't figure this out, I'll call Alex or Matt up here to help me with my phone and help me to try to download what I'm trying to do here, but see, they don't know either, so I feel much better about it like that than what I do. Hunter could do that. You know, I'm not even in the wrong section over here, but I found it, you know. I believe I found it. Before, I have used the writing of a gentleman, his name is Gary Busby. For years and years and years, simply because of the hold that alcohol had on him, he struggled. And he struggled mightily. This week he sent me this. He said, the subject is three-leaf clovers. Three-leaf clovers are everywhere. But most people are too busy trying to find the four-leaf clover to appreciate them. They take the three-leaf clover for granted. They don't see the differences, just one simple leaf. That fourth leaf doesn't make it any more beautiful, doesn't really make it any more valuable or precious. But we have always associated it with being more desirable than the common three-leaf clover. He said the blessings that receive in life are the same way. Like three-leaf clovers, they are all around us in abundance. But we choose to focus on the ones that we don't have. Those things that seem more precious. Those things that we are conditioned to believe are more desirable. Now start taking notice and appreciating all of the three-leaf clovers that surround you. Stop spending all your emotional energy obsessing for a four-leaf clover. Start thanking your lucky stars. Start counting your blessings. Start focusing on the beauty of three-leaf clovers that reside in abundance in the garden of your life. This is a man that's been transformed by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Faith is transforming your life today. And I believe that faith in God is about a glorious vision of the future. I've done too many funerals, I'm here to tell you. You think it's kind of silly, but somebody came to me and said, Charlie, you do a pretty good funeral. I said, well, if you've got a certain day you'd like to schedule yours, I'll be glad to put it on the books. Bob Hyam said, no, we'll wait on that. I've done too many funerals. And I know each time that emotionally it's difficult. You feel such compassion for the family that's lost a loved one. I know in our own family we've had losses. Touches us. But I'm here to tell you today, that there is a glorious future waiting for each and every one of us. To greet those loved ones that have gone on before. This thing we talk about in churches, I believe it's the simplest message that has ever been given. God sent his son to die upon a cross for the removal of my sin and your sin. It says over in John in the first chapter, to those who believe and receive. There's a whole lot of people believe, but when things start to get good is when you receive. It says that even the devils themselves believe in who Jesus was. But it's totally different when you start to receive him into your life. When you start to put your faith, when you start to hear the testimonies of the saints, when you see old Joe Klein come in and he says, I want to say something and I can't understand half of what he's saying because he's crying and I'm starting to cry too. I know that it is of God and that God has touched his life. When Debbie in the back so sweetly talks about the love that people here have shared with her, and I know she misses singing because I miss hearing her sing. I miss hearing her sing because when she sings, I start to feel good. And I know that what she shares is from the heart. I believe that faith, rooted in the past, transforming our lives today as we look forward to this glorious future. Faith. Next Sunday is Father's Day. I'll be preaching here. Matt's going to be down at the campgrounds. They asked the children one time, what's the difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day? And they said, well, Father's Day is just like Mother's Day, except you don't have to spend as much on the present. I don't know how you look at it. That's pretty much the way it always was. But next Sunday is going to be special because I, in my heart, will be thankful for the Father that I had. But I am even more thankful for the Heavenly Father, for each and every one of us have been given the opportunity to receive His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as personal Savior. That is where our faith stands. I'm not going to look around over my shoulder. Are any of the musicians still awake? Okay. We're going to ask Terry to go to the piano. Vicki, you'll go there to that wonderful perch. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Matt, thank you for singing today. I know it's summertime, I know you got a lot of things to do. I know the sun is shining brightly outside. Trust me, tomorrow you will know that it is summertime in D.C. The calendar may not say it, but trust me, when you go out in the afternoon and you, boy, it sure is warm out here. I encourage you this summer to find good things in your life to share about what He has done. Whether it's a testimony, whether it's a simple phone call where you just pick up the phone and you go, that's right. Sometimes those phone calls are the best ones you can have because somebody needed to share and you needed to listen. Now up on that mountainside, they didn't get a chance to overhear much of that conversation because they're sleeping. But I believe that God has got something good for us. He's going to wake us up. He's going to start to build a fire. There are people who are getting excited about what God is doing in their lives. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we've come to your house. We have gathered in your name. You've seen it fit that we should just simply focus upon you today. And God, we know that within our heart of hearts that our faith at times may waver. But God, we thank you. We thank you for what you did. Because the promises we find in your word, they never waver. They never falter. They never let us down. So Heavenly Father, you just be with that one who simply needs a touch in the body today. One who needs an answer to a question. The one who simply needs to know more than anything else that you love them. We thank you for allowing us to be here. We thank you for safe traveling mercies as we leave this place and be your will and bring us back again to sing praises unto your name. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. All God's people said amen. Terry, I want you to start in whatever key you play, Amazing Grace. I want to sing a little Amazing Grace before we leave today.